We've been going through the life of Christ in the New Testament, in the Gospels, and I was assigned the passage Luke 13:1-5. But before we go there, let's turn first of all to Luke chapter 9. We want to set up the context of what we're going to speak on this morning. And Luke chapter 9 and verse 51, we read, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem." Interesting, in the book of Luke, from this point, this is a breaking point in the Gospel of Luke. Here, he's now going to make his final journey to Jerusalem. It's going to be a journey from Galilee, where he's been, and he's going to travel along the road to Jerusalem, passing through different villages and cities, and giving many parables, meeting many individuals, answering many questions. And it's actually a picture of our Christian life, isn't it? We're on a journey. We're on the road of life. And as we read here about the Lord, he's about to be received up. He's about to be returned to his Father, returned to the glory that he shared with the Father before time began. But first of all, he must go to Jerusalem. And in the same way, as believers, we're all headed towards heaven. We're headed to glory. But there's a road we're on now, and there's places we have to go on our way to heaven. Of course, our path is significantly different than the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus had to go to Jerusalem to be crucified and to die for our sins. Otherwise, he could have been received up to heaven right there. He said he was knew it was time for him to be received up. But no, first of all, he had to go to Jerusalem. And there's a reason, maybe a few reasons why he had to go to Jerusalem. First of all, to be finally rejected by the nation of Israel. They had shown the rejection earlier, but this was going to be the cutting off point. On that day when he came into Jerusalem and they were saying, "Hosanna in the highest," that was the end of Daniel's 69 weeks that he spoke on, where the Messiah was cut off. And so he had to go to Jerusalem. He had to go there to be crucified. He had to go there to die for our sins. In the same way, we who are following the path of the Lord, we are on the road to heaven, but there's places we have to go. Now, in my case, I grew up in Southern Ontario, and then I came to Ottawa, and then I went to other cities, and who knows where else I'll be before the Lord returns or I pass from this earth in death. But as a believer, I am on my way to glory. I'm on my way to heaven, but there's events and circumstances and things that are still ahead of me in my life until that time comes. So the Lord says, it says here that he was about to be received up, and so he knew where he had to go, the path he had to go before he was received up, and so he set his face for Jerusalem. He set it there. He was determined. He was determined to do what the Father had asked him to do. So just to get an idea of this idea of him going on a path or traveling the road to Jerusalem, we turn to verse 57 in this passage of Luke 9. And it says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.'" So here he's making a statement, and the Lord's going to tell him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And then he said to another, "Follow me." And then this one said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." So we see him interacting and trying to share truth with those he's encountering on the way to Jerusalem. We go to the next chapter, chapter 10 and verse 1, and it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Again, they're traveling place to place, city to city. Verse 38 of Luke 10. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And then chapter 13 and verse 22. And here we read, and that he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. He's got this ultimate destination of Jerusalem, which from that will be the final destination of heaven. But on the way there, he's going through cities and villages. Again, we see ourselves in that, don't we? That we are ultimately going to heaven, but in the meantime, we are serving, we are busy about the Lord's business. And so then we go on in chapter 13 and verse 33. He says, nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. Here he was saying that it was a lot of prophets had been persecuted and killed in Jerusalem, and he was going to be added to that number. He was going to go there to die for our sins before being received, resurrected and received up into heaven. And then we go on in chapter 17 and verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And so he's getting closer and closer. And then it says he entered a certain village, and there met him 10 who were lepers who stood afar off. And he's going to help these poor, poor lepers. Then in chapter 18 and verse 35, then it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. And so they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord gave the sight to this blind man. And then in chapter 19, he's traveling, getting closer and closer to Jerusalem. And he now goes through Jericho. And here's the encounter with the wee man, the little man, Zacchaeus, who climbs up into a sycamore tree. And the Lord reveals himself to him. And this man, Zacchaeus, is saved. And later in this chapter 19, it says, when he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he came or drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples. Here he's approaching, getting closer and closer to Jerusalem. And so we see here the Lord traveling to Jerusalem, but and he's going to go there to be crucified, but his ultimate destination is heaven. And so we turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, after his resurrection. Luke 24 and verse 51. He's led his followers up to Olivet. And it says in verse 51, now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And so we see the culmination of the Lord's journey along the road. We read in chapter 9, he set his face towards Jerusalem because he knew it was time for him to be received up. And now he's received up. But as he said to those on the road to Emmaus in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24 and verse 26, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And so what we see here is the Lord had to suffer first. He had a purpose in coming to this earth. He came to die for your sins and my sins so that we could have a relationship with him and through him have a relationship with the Lord God. And so the Lord completed his task and now he's been received up into heaven. But the pathway was first suffering and then glory. And as believers, we are called to follow the pathway of our Lord. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, it's not Calvary. We can't suffer for the sins of others, but we are called to suffer for the sake of Christ, to suffer for his name. And so that takes on different forms depending on our circumstances, depending where we are. But we are called to travel this road of life, speaking to those we encounter, sharing truth with them, helping them in whatever way we can. But our ultimate goal is heaven as we travel this pathway of life. So this is the context, and I'd like to now go to this specific passage I was asked to take up, keeping in mind this context. And so Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, and verse 1 to 5. Luke 13, 1 to 5. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered these things? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Of those 18 on whom the tower and Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And so the Lord's been traveling, and he's approached by these individuals, and we don't know how recent this event was, or there's not a lot written about this event, but what we can surmise from different pieces of information in history is that the Galileans, of course, were prone to insurrection, and they were a rougher group, people from the Galilee region, and they were often looked down upon by those in Judea. And so they were maybe had come to Jerusalem to offer some sacrifices at one of the feasts. And as they're there, whether there was any kind of trouble or insurrection, Pilate, who was a ruthless man, for some reason he had action taken against them, and some of them were killed at that time, right in the vicinity of the temple. And so that's why this phrase is used, that he mingled their blood with their sacrifices. It was done while sacrifices were being made. They were killed in the vicinity of the temple. And so what the Lord is asking to them, because the Lord knows the intents of the heart. He knows our words, our actions, and he knows our hidden motives and what we're thinking. And so he could see in their question this idea that was prevalent in the Jewish nation, that if somebody has something bad happens to them, they must have done something wrong. You know, the question was asked by the disciples about a blind man who sinned. Did he sin or did his parents sin that caused this to come upon them? And the Lord said, neither one. You see, sometimes bad things happen to people because we live in a fallen world. So the Lord understood this, the intent of their question. And so he asked them, do you think there were sinners than other Galileans who weren't killed in this incident? And he answers his own rhetorical question. He says, I tell you, no. But he says, it's not what happened here that's important, but it's to be ready for the judgment of the Lord. There's a worse thing than this. You must repent or you will all likewise perish. Now, as he's saying this, there's a sort of a immediate thought here from a physical standpoint, is that the Jewish nation who is rejecting Christ is going to ultimately suffer because of that rejection of Christ. And in 70 AD, that indeed the nation would be destroyed, Jerusalem would be destroyed, the temple would be destroyed. And so that is coming, and judgment would come because of the rejection. But there's even a further, even more ultimate application that is even more important than physical death, and it's this. we have an appointment to meet the Lord God. And if we die in our sins, we are not ready to meet him because we have no hope of salvation apart from the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. What happens here on earth is minor compared to what our future is if we die without Christ. So we must repent here on earth to be ready for an even worse death, what's called the second death or the eternal death, to be forever in the lake of fire, to be ever apart from the Lord. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now. We must repent of our sins. And so he's saying there's these Galileans, the ones that died and the ones that are alive, do you think there's really any difference? Yes, there's degree of difference in sins. We haven't sinned as much as a Hitler or a Stalin, hopefully, or other evil people who have lived who have sinned greatly. But in reality, we're much closer to them than we are to God. We're born sinners. We're all sinners. We're all equally sinners. It's just the degree of sin may be greater in some. And so he said there's no difference in these Galileans as far as their position being born into this world. They're all born sinners. But then he goes on to talk about another incident, about a tower that fell in Siloam and killed 18 people. Now, possibly this tower was being constructed near the Pool of Siloam, which is in Jerusalem. And we know during the time of Hezekiah, he built a underground tunnel from the Gihon Springs outside the city into the city to the Pool of Siloam to provide water when the city was under siege. And so a tower was being built there, and it had fell, it had killed these 18 people. And so the Lord says, do you think these were worse sinners because of what happened to them? And basically, again, he answered his rhetorical question. He said, I tell you no. And then he says, again, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And so as we travel this road of life on our way to heaven, we have the opportunity of answering questions people have about God, about sin, about our faith. We are to be always ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. But we must be careful that whether they're sincere questions or they're meant to divert from the crux of the matter. Whether they were sincere in bringing this up or trying to divert what the Lord has said to them at the end of the previous chapter, we're not sure. But sometimes there are honest seekers who are asking honest questions and they're truly seeking. But then other times there's those that are troubled and they try to divert attention, take it a bypass. We need to bring it back to the crux of the matter. What matters is not all these other things. What matters is your eternal destiny. Have you repented of your sins? You need to take care of that, and you need to take care of that today, because the Bible says now is the day of salvation. You see, we live in a fallen world, and bad things happen. There are some who will say, how can a loving God allow something like this to happen? Well, we live in a fallen world of sin, and bad things do happen. And they happen to bad people, and they happen to good people. Daniel, as we're going to, we've been starting our look at the book of Daniel, we see that he was a good man. But because judgment came to Jerusalem, he suffered with the wicked. He was as well led away captive. And good people will suffer. Sometimes we suffer for our own sins. Sometimes we suffer because of other people's sins. And sometimes we suffer just because we live in a fallen world that is full of sin. But we must remember that as we travel this road, there will be suffering. But what have you done about Christ? What do you think about Christ? Have you put your faith and trust in him? And as believers, we must be ready as we travel this path, recognize that we have many events and many places maybe that we go, and we have people that we meet. Be ready to give a defense for our faith. But remember, our ultimate destination is heaven. We are headed towards glory. We are headed towards God. But there's a path, a road to travel first on our way there. God bless.